overwhelmed with gratitude. So I don't know if Larry's here, but thank you for giving me an opportunity to be of service. My sobriety date's October 30th, 2015. I have a home group. I take commitments. My sponsor has a sponsor. We work all 12 steps and do it again. And I'm sponsoring a woman now, and she has, like, blessed me beyond belief in the month that we've been working together. So I feel super happy for that. And I'm nervous, and I want you all to like me, and I want to do it perfect, and that's not going to happen, so I'm just going to forget about it. That felt good. So I was raised in an alcoholic home, and it gave me an idea of what alcoholism looked like. And my alcoholism initially didn't look like my mother's. My mom drinks vodka out of the closet every single day, falls down drunk. And that's what her alcoholism looks like. And so when I started drinking, and it was like Four Locos and a jacuzzi, we're 19, it's fun. And they had caffeine in them. And it was really fun. And I blacked out right from the start, and I immediately started trying to figure out not how I could, like, I wanted to drink the same amount. I just wanted to somehow not black out. So I tried all the different things we try, and nothing worked. When I was 21, something happened, a severe consequence, my first really big one. And I vowed that I was never going to drink again. And within 3 days, I really wanted to drink again. And I was kind of like, I don't know what made me think to go to the computer and look up an AA meeting, but I did. And I ended up in PB at a women's meeting, Candlelight. And as soon as I said, my name's Ashley and I'm alcoholic, I started sobbing because I was like, oh, maybe I'm not just insane. Like, maybe there's a solution to this. Maybe, maybe I'm alcoholic, even though it doesn't look like my mom's or my dad's. And so that was kind of that was my first time. I went to 90 and 90, I think, and I really tried, and I went back out, and then I got to learn about progression, because with AA in my head, I just started drinking in a totally different way and, like, really hating myself way more than ever before, and it just really wasn't fun. Like, sometimes, but for the most part, not really. So I went to my first institution. That was a doozy, and I stayed there for 5 months, and I learned a lot, and like on Friday the 13th, I just decided that it would be a good time to drink again, and I wanted to drink, so I did, and I thought, I'll come back to AA when I feel better, like, or when I want to feel better, and I really didn't have a concept of what it was to be alcoholic. Like, I didn't realize that there were three components, and that that I wasn't going to have a choice in when I came back to Alcoholics Anonymous. And so I stayed out, and I went in and out, in and out. And basically, like, all this stuff happened. I went to county mental health. I was hospitalized. I went in and out of institutions. I tore through people's lives. And that's not the stuff that makes me alcoholic. Like, that's all the consequences and the behaviors, and they were really insane. But, like, I felt really bad. I couldn't stop drinking. I lost my choice. I remember just being like, I don't want to drink, like, just don't drink. And like, there I am buying a drink with, like, pennies. And that was really humiliating at 6 a.m. and, like, waking up in a car and then going to a dive bar at 6. And it was weird. It was really weird to be, like, 23 and doing that kind of stuff. That's not how other 23-year-olds that I knew were really partying. So all the lower companions, all that good stuff. Anyways, I don't know. I wanted to die. The plan was to try to die. And somehow, I had a moment of clarity, and I really don't think too much about it. I'm just super grateful that it happened. But I had a moment of clarity, and, like, I got on a wait list for another institution, and I got in really quick. Like, it didn't make sense that I got in that quick. And from there on out, like, the right women showed up at the right time. And I needed, like, a lot of love when I got here. I needed a lot of love. My family, they were done. And, like, thank God they were done. Because if they hadn't been, like, I don't know if it would have been enough for me to be as desperate as I was. Like, no one was picking up the phone anymore. And I was starting to feel, I'm going to get sober. And I was starting to feel like something really bad. Okay, anyways. So I got into this institution, and I was, like, fully surrendered. And it was messy a lot of the time. It was really, really painful. Nothing about it was easy. There was not a lot of pink cloud going on. I think I faked a lot of pink cloud because I really want everyone to think I'm okay and, like, I've got this. And 90% of the time, more than that, maybe. I don't. But I worked the steps. The sponsor came into my life. She freaking was amazing. And I found a God, like, somewhere in there. And I started, like, really connecting to that God. And most of the time, it was coming to meetings and looking in the eyes of other alcoholics, and, like, they were doing it. They were staying sober. And I started to believe that this could happen. And I worked, like, a thorough first step. I do that, like, every day if I can. I try to, like, remind myself that I'm powerless. If I go back out, I don't think I'll want to come back to Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't know that I'll be able to. And the way I behave, I'll probably die. Like, I do a lot of really high-risk behavior. So, basically, I worked all 12 steps. I didn't do it perfect. And it was really painful, and I needed outside help. Like, I just grabbed onto everybody, and I asked for help all the time. And I cried a lot, and I still cry a lot, and I really like crying. And, like, I'm changed. I'm really a different person, and I don't believe it. Like, I wasn't supposed to stay sober. There's no reason why I should be sober. It blows my mind. But Alcoholics Anonymous really works. And so today, like, I lived in that institution for a year and a half because I was not well, and I was kicking and screaming, but I just stayed there for some reason. I'm pretty sure God kept me there. And, like, every time, like, Alcoholics Anonymous, my higher power, have carried me and lifted me up when I couldn't do it for myself, and I haven't had to drink. And like, stuff's happened. Like, I came up against some, like, pretty gnarly situations, and each of those reservations, like, well, if that happens, I'll drink. Like, I didn't have to drink. I had people that loved me. The fellowship's a really, really big part of my recovery. And the amends process was really important for me, too. Like, I had to do them the real deal. It's time to be done. Okay, so anyways, all the steps are very important, and I try to work them on a daily basis, and I guess all I have left to say is happy birthday to Janet. I love you so much. And Katie, I love you so much. And Perry, I love you because you're alcoholic, and congratulations. I don't know you, but and 90 days. I forgot those names, but congratulations. That was a really big deal for me, 90 days, because I couldn't stay sober for 2 days in a row this time, so, like, 90 days was forever. And just one day at a time, and, like, I didn't want to hit my knees, I didn't want to take suggestions, but I just did it anyway. Like, just do it anyway, just keep coming back, and do the stupid stuff when it doesn't make sense, because, like, sometimes it makes sense. And in those moments, you get to experience joy, like, way, way cooler than any kind of, like, ecstasy, alcohol-induced joy, like, way better than that. And I did not believe that would happen. Like, no way, nothing better than that. But there is, and it's staying sober. Thanks for laughing.